From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. And we're pleased to be joined in studio by John Watkins, the Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns.
Hey, Bob.
Good to have you with us.
Always good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. I tell people many times, I say one of many things that makes me proud to be Catholic is the charitable aspect of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that and it's something that it's not, I mean, yes, it's our duty, but it's not done with a sense of duty.
It's our joy.
It's our joy. Yeah.
It's the way that as Catholics, in a particular way, I think that we are incarnational. We embody that. We've grown with the tradition, and that's how we experience Mass. We have our Catholic calisthenics because we stand up, sit down, and do all these things because the body is important. The body is connected to the spirit. And as we receive the body of Christ, it is intended ultimately that the body of Christ is to give us the strength and grace to be God's hands and feet in the world. And so we're sent out in the Mass in a very particular way. And so as Catholics, you know, our institutions of charity, including our hospitals and, of course, our social service agencies that I'm involved in, and, of course, our schools. All these things are important ways that we communicate to the world, to the people, that God cares.
Right.
He cares very intimately about you, even your body, and the things that are the concerns of the people of God.
I've got a few complaints about my body recently.
My dad always said, no complainer. Take it up with God.
Take it up with God.
It doesn't stop me from complaining.
Yeah. I like that word incarnation. You know, like we have the world headquarters of Carnation Dairy right here in Sacramento.
There you go.
Work something out with them.
Maybe, yeah, we can change their name. Now I don't think they're ready for the incarnation yet. No.
Yeah.
Although when they used to have the powdered milk, that was used to be a thing. I did think that was kind of miraculous when I was little.
Oh yeah,
that the water became milk.
It became milk.
It was just like Jesus' first miracle in Cana, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how did the water turn into milk?
I remember from my childhood the powdered milk.
Yeah,
and it was like wow, yeah. it was magic.
It was.
Also, I'm old enough to remember when margarine was white.
Oh.
Because you got a little yellow powder packet that you would mix with the margarine to make it look like butter because the dairy industry didn't like this. Margarine was a new thing.
Yeah.
And it was going to steal their market. So if you let them sell it yellow, people would just think it's the same as butter. So we want to make sure.
Well, they haven't taken over butter. My philosophy for cooking is more butter, more better.
Then, you know, when the dish is done, a big dollop of Best Foods mayonnaise on top of it.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
you and I are kindred souls here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed. Well, Catholic Charities and Social Concerns, the annual Catholic appeal, which we think of as Lenten.
Mm-hmm.
But it's year round.
Yeah, I mean it's obviously the campaign is re-kicked off during the season of Lent, but it's a year round campaign. I mean we're involved in social services not just for Christmas and Easter, but year round. And so, thankfully, many of the Catholics, the way I give in particular, it's year round. I make a pledge. I give a monthly offering, and you know, so it's a year round thing, and we continue to receive donations year round, and of course, we continue to communicate to folks, and so you know, we recently just sent out our report of gratitude, which is online, which sort of goes over sort of how the funds have been spent and how that's made a difference in the lives of people in this community. And so I think it's something that we should be proud about. I think we don't do a particularly great job of bragging.
Right.
It's you know, unfortunately, that's the way we Catholics look at that sort of thing. But really, we need to think of it as proclaiming the good news, because what we're doing is really good news.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, what we see in the media with related to the Catholic Church sometimes these days is bad news.
Right.
So we have to double our efforts to promote good news. So thank you for letting me be on the show here and share my piece of good news with your audience.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because occasionally I'll run into somebody, hey, you're a Catholic, you know, you're on the radio for the Catholic Church, what's the matter with you, kind of thing, you know, and you go, okay, well, let's just say the Catholic Church never existed.
Mm.
Never existed. Catholic Church in Northern California, the Diocese of Sacramento, mm-hmm. never existed. Do you realize how big that safety net that's provided mm-hmm. by the, and they do that? They have an AIDS ministry? Mm-hmm. What? You're kidding me. No, they
right.
don't.
Right.
Oh, they're you know, Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services, all, you help feed, how many people?
25% of the hospitals are Catholic?
Well, yeah, you know, exactly.
So, no, we understate to a maximum what we were involved in, and that's not including what happens in the parish.
Right.
And
right.
I assure the listeners that, you know, we can complain that maybe our parish isn't doing more, but every parish, if it's Catholic, is getting involved in some variation of outreach ministries,
right.
not ministry, but ministries, be it to the sick, to the elderly, to the homeless, to the hungry, and the list could go on and on and on. And it's important to recognize, I think, in our Catholic social teaching, to recognize and defend the importance of family and community as it relates to caring for those in need.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, and I'm not to put it in any sort of political context, but there are movements about that sort of like to boil it down to that only the federal government and the state
yeah.
and the government can fix these problems. And the truth is, you know, they have an important role. Our position is not that it's only us. Our position is that we're critical, we're important, that we really fill the gaps that can't be done right. by the government, because ultimately the healing of the person is a human thing. It's mm-hmm. not a systemic or structural
right.
thing. And the governments are very good at creating the structural foundations for social services and addressing sort of the structural issues. But at the end of the day, person to person, that's yep. how people are healed, person to person.
Plus, if you look at the Diocese of Sacramento with 100-plus parishes, we're on the ground where the people are. It's you know, you can call it subsidiarity or whatever you want to call
yeah.
it. But the best solutions are always local. One size doesn't fit all. What
yeah.
works in, you know, Shasta County might not work in Sacramento County or Del
yeah.
Norte, or which isn't in our diocese. But, you know, I mean, it's everybody has different needs.
Yeah. Well, after a couple thousand years, I think we've learned that.
Yeah.
And we're very good at it. And because of my role, I'm involved not only in the Catholic Charities, but also in globally with Caritas and Catholic Relief
right.
Services. And what is really powerful, and people oftentimes point to the negatives of this large universal church, the structure of the church.
Right.
Oh, I'm Catholic, but I don't like the structure of
right.
the church. Okay. Well, let me put a different spin on it. Every inch of earth has a diocese and a parish. Every inch. And that means, from a caring perspective, there's not one place in the world, and even in the areas where there's barely any Catholics,
right.
there are Catholics in Sudan and other places. And so we can get to people in the most remote areas of the world
right.
to care for them in a very direct way with people from the community. That's powerful.
Yeah.
And there's no institution in the world that can do it. And so I would just say that, of course, with any institution, there are bad things. But I would actually say that there are a lot of good things being part of this. And one of the things is, and connecting it back to the annual Catholic appeal, is that in this local community in Northern California, Catholics join together and through the annual Catholic appeal to care for the community together. As you know, and it's important we as individual Catholics that we give, but corporally it's important we in a very public way give and make sure that people know that we Catholics are in this community and we give and we care. Not because we want to say that we're better than, but no, we do it because we want people to know that Catholics care.
Right.
Catholics are concerned, and not just about a particular small group of people, but probably the most hated and probably the least the most vulnerable and the least liked groups of people. Those are the people that we take care of.
Exactly.
And
and we're not taking care just of Catholics. There's never
no.
There's the question isn't even asked.
No.
Or no. Well, we're gonna go through all five decades of the rosary before you get that soup. You know.
Well, I've seen that happen, and I tell you, I break that up like in a hand. Well, I always like to distinguish for folks because I do think taking care of Catholics is also important, and I call that pastoral ministry.
Sure.
So you have grief ministry, you have many different kinds of ministries, and you have to care for people in your own parish that are hurting. Right. Just as much as you care for your own family. But God, calls us, Jesus in a particular way, calls us to love our neighbor. And if you recall the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisee first. And
right.
The Pharisee was, what is the law? And Jesus quoted, well, love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor. And then the Pharisee to kind of trick him up, he said, well, then who's my neighbor?
Right.
And then he gave the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan says many things. It's very instructive, the nuances of what that story is. We could go on a long time. But what you're seeing here is, number one, is everyone is our neighbor,
right?
As Christians, we know that. But in a particular way, when there's someone on the side of the road that's in need, that's where our attention needs to be.
Right.
Number one. Number two, it definitely does not. It is someone that is that we're not to be concerned about whether they're Samaritan or that our neighbor kind of crosses those boundaries.
Right.
And so I think that's the way we should be looking at charity. Is when we talk about the church's work of charity, that's where we take out the race, religion. Mm-hmm. Sex, all those things. It is a needs-based, it's the assumption is everyone is our brothers and sisters,
right.
But who is in the greatest need? And that's where our charity goes to.
Right.
And so you look at our hospitals, you look at our charities, they're always going to go where the greatest needs are.
Right.
And so there's a saying in the Catholic Charities world, if you've seen one Catholic Charities, you've seen one Catholic Charities. And the reason for that is because in every community, the needs look different.
Sure.
And a Catholic Charities is not a list of programs. It is the church's response to the needs of the community. And so it's going to reflect those
right.
needs
right.
in a particular way. Yeah.
You know, I got chills when you said that there's not an inch of the earth that is not covered by a diocese of the Catholic Church. It's a fact. And you think, no, what about Mongolia? What about,
Yeah.
And I just talked to a representative of the largest diocese in the world. Do you know which one that is?
It's got to be in Alaska.
No.
Where?
It's actually.
Oh, is it in Siberia?
No.
Where?
It's the Diocese of Military Services.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It's a trick question.
That is a good, that is true.
Which does cover every ounce of, every inch of the earth.
Yes, it does.
I think the largest diocese probably is in Alaska.
In the U.S. In the U.S., I should say, because Alaska, there's only three dioceses.
Three, I think.
And Alaska is huge.
People don't realize how
no, it
you
is
take
huge.
Texas and California, and they still fit inside Alaska.
Easily.
You've got the diocese of Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau. I think.
Yes, those are huge dioceses.
Yeah, and as I understand it, a lot of the priests are are pilots.
Yeah,
pilots.
You have to be. Yeah. You have to be, definitely, because your parish boundary is probably the size of many dioceses.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you have, and you don't have roads.
No, you can't
in the
drive
same
from Fairbanks to Barrow.
No, you cannot. Yeah.
Or Nome. Or
that's right.
That's amazing, right. But the faith is strong.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I am just there's a vibrancy of the faith. If we seek it and we see it in the people of God and in the way when people in respond to the call of the Holy Spirit to give of charity. And so last night I was up at the Upper Room Dining Hall, which is one of the recipients, giving the food to the people. And it was just wonderful to be able to serve folks of different faiths, but also to work together with people of other faiths. We had a older gentleman. He was 96. Clearly, he was a Protestant, and his prayer was just beautiful, and really set the tone for how we were going to work together. And just it was just felt the Spirit moving, and so it really was a boost to my. It's a gift, right? And one thing that I remind folks, especially our Catholic Charities folks, is that we have a sort of a twofold mission. The public mission that we say on our public benefit statement, our mission, right, it speaks to us serving those on the margins, right?
Right.
But in any Catholic organization, there's always a secondary mission, and that is to help the baptized live out their call to love and serve their neighbor.
Right.
So, for instance, what's important about the annual Catholic appeal is that it is critical that we give the opportunity for every single Catholic to love and serve their neighbor, every Catholic. And it's not simply for the benefit of our Catholic Charities or the people that need the help.
Right.
It is also a benefit for us.
Exactly.
We need it. I needed to go to the Upper Room Dining Hall. I needed that as much as those that needed the food. I needed to be able to share the gift of the body of Christ with others so that I could reinvigorate my own spiritual life. So I think that's also what we give to the people of God in this. And I'm grateful. I think this diocese has a very vibrant history of charity, very vibrant history of charity, and it continues. But we have a legacy that we have to continue to support. And it goes into the headwinds now of the issue with the sex abuse scandals, and also with the fact that your young people have maybe not affiliating as much with the church, and so we lose so much. And so it is really important for all Catholics and disciples to be involved in this effort. We really double down. We really need to continue to do this to keep the mission alive.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Bishop Soto is very concerned about the youth, and carrying on the faith. And it's difficult in this climate, especially as you say with the sex abuse crisis. It's even without that, it's difficult to carry on the faith. There's so many distractions in the world, seemingly more than when I was a kid. But just it's amazing. How many distractions there are out there, and I know I have four teenagers, and it's like it's a challenge.
Yes, it is.
It's a challenge, and then they go off to college, and it's like, well, are you going to Mass or are you going and you hope they are, and you hope they find the Newman Center and they et cetera, but. You've got to give them that foundation, but it's tough because they're not getting it from their peers.
No.
Enough.
No. And so our charities again provide another incredible place for our young people to experience Christ. I know that was the case for me. It wasn't that I wasn't going to church when I was in high school, but I was sort of not paying attention, really, and not my heart wasn't in it. However, I couldn't reject the fact that when I would go and serve and encounter those on the margins that I didn't see Christ.
Absolutely.
And that was there for me. So again, it's hard to say, but we gotta get our young people wherever we can. I do think that our young people are particularly held captive by the mission of the church. There's a lot of zeal when you see young people giving. Their spirit does come alive.
Yeah.
And so it's not to say by any stretch that the mass and the parish isn't important. It isn't, but it is obviously the foundation. However, our charity is important,
yeah.
And so that's another way that we as Catholics live out our faith.
You know, it's interesting because I do a little bit of emceeing now and then of events, and I always try to bring as many kids with me as mm-hmm. my kids, mm-hmm. and. It's just what you're saying. Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home is, and again, Mass is very important, but I see my kids look at what's going on at the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home. They go, wow, wow. And mm-hmm. listen to this person who just mm-hmm. spoke. Wow, they've really got something to say. Those things matter to, and they realize this is what our faith is about is mm-hmm. helping mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. whether it's, mm-hmm. Sacramento Food Bank, same thing. You know, we're doing the turkey drive, which is easy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
easy. But, you know, this is what our faith is about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One of my daughters is working. It's not a Catholic Church participates with it. They have in my hometown of Davis, they have the cold weather shelter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which
the roving,
rotates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And she's a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. And she's part of this group of interfaith group that goes out there and helps serve the meal and get people settled for the night and that kind of thing. And the training for it was very intensive, but it's faith filled. You know, it's she's connecting that to Christ. She's connecting that mm-hmm. to the church, and she's helping people.
That's right.
And giving up, a substantial amount of time just in the training.
Yeah.
You know, and those you're right. That's the charities is I think how we connect to our faith.
Absolutely, and it's also important I think to recognize on one hand there are many amazing charities that are not Catholic, but that our Catholic charities are really important because mm-hmm. they are the prayer is involved, the faith is
right.
involved. It is communicating a faith message as well, and that ultimately the mission that we're seeking to accomplish is much bigger than the mission that's on our statement. It's really proclaiming the love of God
right.
through the programs and the ministries that we have
right.
is a message of love for everybody, including the volunteers. So, and what's important as parents, I know because I have a teenager too, is using a lot less words and just having them come with you as you are serving others and
right.
And then having them, giving them the space to have their own encounter with Christ
right.
in those places, which I know my father did for me,
right.
and I've tried to do with my kids, again, without trying to moralize it or I'll let the school do that, but really to just say that this is what it's like. This is what being a Catholic is.
Yes, that's what
you
it
just
is.
Do this is we just do that. We just go over to our neighbor's house and give cookies and
yeah.
do things, little things like that, very intentionally,
exactly.
because of our faith. Yeah,
John, you don't look old enough to have a teenager, though. Nobody's going to believe you.
Oh, you know better than that. They can't see me on the radio, but I'll take that. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I get I'm a little bit of an older dad, and people say, "Oh, you're with your granddaughter today."
Oh my
and
goodness!
And I say. No, just stop for a minute. Let just think about that. Think what you just did. Because now I'm going to have to say it's my daughter, and you're going to be embarrassed, you know.
Yeah.
And I say, so instead of just going for the juggler, just start out like this. Say, oh, is this your sister? And then work up.
Yeah, there you go.
Work the other way
around. I'm going to use that because actually, Bob, I get that a lot because I don't know if you knew, but my wife and I recently adopted. So we were kind of moving through the system, and then we got a call from a woman that was needing some help, and we felt called, and now we have a three-year-old.
Oh, wow.
So I get, actually, I've gotten that a number of times. Yeah. Oh, it's just your grandchild.
Yeah.
So I understand.
Yeah, or just that. Say... Oh, and who do we have here? You know, but start out, you know, start out the other way.
Well, I feel your pain, Bob. I totally feel your pain on that one. Well, God bless.
I'm glad you've had that experience.
Oh, many times. Many times.
Misery likes company.
Yeah.
So, but the person who's embarrassed is the person that made the faux pas.
Of course.
You know.
So. Of course. So, of course.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the actual programs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I've just got a wonderful letter from Father John Healy about the HIV/AIDS ministry. I've gone to a number of their. They have a kind of an Irish
St. Patrick's and also
Hispanic.
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo celebration combined.
They have a clever
right
name.
In April. So it's
they have a clever name for it, and I can't remember what it is. But but it's always a fun event.
Yeah.
And he has just dedicated his life to this ministry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people think that, medicine has progressed and HIV AIDS is not an issue. And actually, medicine has progressed in this country, very much so. But there are obviously folks with HIV have real needs. They're homeless, many of them there. They're dealing with regular issues. And this bishop, along with preceding bishops, decided, even though in some sense someone with HIV/AIDS is really not different than someone not, they just have an other need. You know, they have HIV and they have a need.
Right.
And we're responding to that. But because of the context of the situation that we have, that find ourselves in right now, where folks the gay community and the HIV/AIDS community have a feeling that, you know, that the Catholic Church doesn't care for them.
Right.
We want to be very particular and upfront about, we care for you. And if you have needs, that we're there to take care of you. So the HIV/AIDS ministry is particularly helps around corporal and spiritual needs. So, prayer and masses and other spiritual assistance, but also help people with beds, getting certain medications that may not be covered, help with food. And the biggest thing, obviously, is just like anyone else in need, rental assistance, utility assistance. Those are the most, so little things that we do. Again, the most important thing that we're trying to do with this ministry and every ministry is to communicate that we care about you.
Right.
And that's really what this ministry is about.
Yeah.
You're special. You're important.
I remember reading, it's just like you said, 25% of the hospitals are Catholic, that 1 in 4 AIDS victims worldwide is taken care of by the Catholic Church.
Wow, I did not know that.
That's a number that's just staggering.
Yeah.
Especially as you point out, where many people in the gay community feel like there's,
And we were the first in before it became an issue that was okay to be involved in.
Right.
And of course we were there. And, we don't want to spoiled milk about it, but we're just being Catholic, and we continue to have to continue to challenge ourselves, even though we have a number of politicians and folks that say that you're not welcome to help us anymore, that we're going to continue to help. We're going to continue to do what our faith calls us to do, to help people that are in need.
So some of the other programs, you're the head of the whole shebang. You can't have a favorite charity.
Of course not. I wouldn't say if I did. In a particular way, we have really a number of very special, unique ministries that you would really only find in this diocese, like loaves and fishes, mm-hmm. Or the Upper Room Dining Hall, or Bishop Gallegos, right. Or Sacramento Life Center, that sort of came up out of the grassroots,
right.
Do some amazing, amazing work, whether they be with the homeless or pregnant women and or other things. So we have a long tradition of these right. movements that have come up and that the church continues to support.
Right.
And then, of course, you have the Catholic Charities agencies, which is really – those are the institutions that the church, the structure, the bishop organizes to respond to the needs of the community,
right.
And that's the Sacramento Food Bank, that's Northern Valley Catholic Social Services in the north part of the diocese, and then Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano in the southern part of the diocese, that we organize to care for those in need. And just those three agencies probably have nearly 100 programs. We have something like maybe about 300 staff people,
mm-hmm.
that are fanned out across this diocese caring for those in need. That's
wow.
That's a lot, you know. That's a lot, and of course, I think people would be surprised to hear what we're doing there. And of course, I don't have time to list all the different programs. Assured that if it's in Matthew 25 that something related, that we're going to be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because people say, okay, well, you feed hungry people. Mm-hmm. What else are you going to do? You know,
yeah, you're going to visit the incarcerated. You're going to care for the sick.
And those things you don't think about. You know, like Matthew 25 has visit people in prison.
Yeah,
doesn't say because they're innocent
or yes
or whatever.
Exactly.
It just says visit them.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Jesus wasn't kidding around. I mean,
no.
Matthew 25. That was right after. That was his last homily. So he decided that this was going to be important, and he was speaking to the disciples gathered. So he's essentially speaking to the church. So he's speaking to us as individuals. We need to do these things, but actually he was also speaking to the church. So we as Catholics take those particular items very seriously and say, okay, nothing else, we're going to do these things.
Yeah.
And then, of course, then we're going to respond to the needs. What are the needs? Are there homeless people? Are there immigrants that are struggling? You know, what are the folks that we're going to what are the needs for this community? And then we're going to respond.
Yeah, and I mean, how many times is welcome the stranger among you part of that?
Yeah.
You know, which has about 50 different tentacles to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're all that. And I think I would hope that in all aspects of our social ministries that the welcoming our strangers, charities really is mischaracterized in this country. A lot of times when we hear charity, we think of giving, but the root of charity is hospitality.
Right.
It's the welcoming. It's the encounter with the other person. And so that's the most important thing. All of us, in a sense, are pilgrims. We're all, in one sense, on the one hand, we're all interconnected in this very powerful way through the Spirit of God, through God Himself. We're like the vine. We're all interconnected. But on the other side, we're all strangers wandering. You know, there's this intimate kind of relationship just between, and we're called to kind of reach out to one another, especially when they're in need, and say, I see you. You need help. I care for you. And so those two things go together. So oftentimes when we think about the stranger, we're thinking about the immigrant, but we should also be thinking about the homeless person,
yep.
or whoever else it is that is the person, especially the person that we would maybe characterize as the unlovable,
right.
the person in jail or
right.
Whatever. Oh, you know. They did this. Now, they need to pay the consequence,
right.
But our love for them needs to reflect the love of the Father that cares for His children, especially His kids that are having trouble. And so that's what we're called to.
Yeah, and you know, you I remember when Pope Francis, I think it was at World Youth Day in Rio, mm-hmm. where he's saying, hey, I know you don't have time to read everything, so just read Matthew 25.
Oh, yeah.
And go do it.
That's
funny. And sometimes you get into these discussions, philosophical discussions with people about, I'm involved. This is the most important issue. We don't have time for the other one. So this is the most important. And I go, I'm not going to argue with you about how important your issue is, but here's the ones Jesus told us to do.
Yeah.
Why don't we do all of them?
Yeah.
Let's just do everything. You know, I'm not going to visit people, or I'm not going to, clothe the naked. I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to, this one's more important. Jesus didn't say any of them were more important. He just said, do them.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so funny you mentioned that, that Pope said that, because I had a priest friend of mine was involved in an ecumenical effort, and they were having a lunch together with his fellow clergy, and they had a conversation about various scripture passages and how scripture passages identified with different groups of people. The evangelicals mentioned 3:16, and the Presbyterians mentioned it. And then the Catholic priest said, well, who are we? And everyone just turned to him together and said, well, you're Matthew 25.
Oh,
of course.
Of course.
You know, and of course, you know, yeah, we're the Matthew 25.
Yeah,
you know?
I see the 3:16 in basketball games when the guy's shooting free throws. They're holding up. And I'm going, I don't quite get that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I like 3:16.
I do too.
You know,
I do too. And it's a gift, I think, also the Protestants have given to us the reminder that God loves us in a very particular, personal way. And of course, as Catholics, God loves us in a corporal way, and that's also a gift. I think we have to. I do respect all parts of the gospel, and sometimes the Protestants emphasize one or the other. The Matthew 25 is not to discount any other part of the gospel, but it is to recognize. I think that Jesus recognized, and I think the reason why he said these words was that. We have a tendency as human beings to become selfish, to be self-focused, and so he wanted to give us a message, not simply to say do this or you're going to go to hell, because that's a little bit of the message in this, but he really is speaking about this moment now, and that if we live out of this teaching, that we will have a vibrant faith and we'll have joy now. In this time,
right?
If we begin to live as our neighbor, as ourself, and stop thinking of ourself first, but start thinking of others first, and so.
Yeah, I mean what are the greatest commandments? You know, love the Lord thy God and love your neighbor as yourself, and love one another as I have loved you. You know, it's pretty simple stuff. When you think about love your neighbor as yourself, it's that five words spoken 2,000 years ago, the golden rule. And you go, find some writing from 2,000 years ago that isn't a little bit dated. That might have worked back then, but this is... These are 2,000-year-old words, only five of them.
Well, it's powerful. Of course, it's only the word of God. Only Jesus could summarize the message of the Torah in such a succinct way, in a profound way. For all ages, and the central message, this is the message that God wants to communicate to his people.
Yeah.
This is what I want you guys to do. I want you to turn your attention to me and your brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
There you go.
The prodigal son, it's the same thing. It's forgiveness. It's love. It's giving everything you have.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I used to not like that one, that because when I was growing up, I go, I had a brother a year older.
That's all you had to say.
We were a little bit competitive, and it's like neither of us were the prodigal son, but it was like, that doesn't sound right. The one kid did everything right.
He messed up,
and the other kid screws up. And he gets the fatted calf and everything. He gets the party and
Well, how miserable is the good son, quote-unquote good son, how miserable is he at the end of the gospel? because he's not willing to forgive, not willing to reach out to his brothers and sisters. Yeah. So I think that's a message for all of us, obviously. Yeah. And what the Catholic Church does very well, and it goes back to the institutional, is we institutionalize that activity, that action that Jesus is calling to us to do in Matthew 25 through our charities. And we facilitate that through things like the annual Catholic Appeal, but also through our particular programs, which become places or vehicles for people to live out their faith. We got to make it as easy as possible for people to be able to live out their faith. And I think we certainly need to do more, and we need people's help to do that. We need to help people, but we also need to help people help people, because that is equally important into the mission of what we're about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I should finish this. The prodigal son, I had a son, and suddenly that's my favorite passage. You know, because you're looking at it as a dad now.
Yeah.
You know, you're going, oh, man, I can see it. The dad's going out there with tears in his eyes. Yes. The kid's coming back. But you didn't have that emotion as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's but that same thing, that story is ageless.
Yeah.
It's ageless.
Jesus is amazing with his the stories. I mean, think about all the imagery that he uses is really rural, and there is a particular time he's talking about shepherds, but it still speaks to us.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
There's no way.
You know, we're so far away from the farm, most of us, at least that are listening to this radio station right now, because we're not going up into the rural areas as much. But, you know, but yet it speaks directly to us.
Directly.
Wow.
2,000 years later.
Yeah.
You know, I've always said, If you just read the words of Jesus, just the Gospels, just read what Jesus said, there's not one thing he said where I go, that's confusing, or I'm going to have to think about that. He might be asking you to do something that is hard, but he's not asking, you know, if you really love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, wow. I mean, how many problems in the world would disappear?
Yeah. Well, the other part of the Gospel that is very interesting for me is that it's simple enough for my 5-year-old to understand, but it's so deep that I could be pondering a single passage for my whole life and opening up new mysteries from that passage. So it's just
amazing. You're about the Samaritan.
Amazing. Amazing.
In fact, it's funny. We'll come home from Mass and I'll say to my wife, I heard something in that Gospel I hadn't heard before. You know, I don't remember that part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, even, you know, Mary and Martha, you can debate who's.
God speaks to, I think, the Holy Spirit is really what enlivens the Scripture, and the Holy Spirit really works through the Scripture. So, you know, I have folks that's, I don't, some people hear from God, I don't hear from God. Well, do you read the Scripture? Do you pray with the Scripture? Because if you pray with the Scripture, you will hear God's voice. I promise you that. There's not anybody that doesn't at some point going to hear the voice of God speaking directly to them through the Scripture. It's going to break through and say, now you're talking to me.
You're talking
to me now in this moment. I get it now. I see what you're saying. Now, it doesn't mean that you just pick up the book and just read from chapter one or page one on, you're going to get it. But that's a very powerful way for us to be able to hear the hear God's voice.
And then I think you get motivated to do all the works we're talking about here.
Yeah. Well, you have the grace to do that. This is all grace. That, you know, when we go out and we serve, that's the apostolic work of being a disciple.
Right.
And that presupposes, you know, that we have a relationship with Jesus and that, you know, and so on and so forth. And so that's what sort of transforms, and what's the differences between what Mother Teresa say, for instance, is doing than, say, someone that's a social action, a person that's just doing activities or programs. Right. Mother Teresa's, in the transformation business, not in the transactional business. Yeah. She's not just doing programs. She's really caring for the whole person.
Right.
So she sees it in the totality of the person, the body and the spirit of the person. And because she's able to see that in the other person, they can see it in themselves and they're transformed. And that's what we're called to try to do as best we can in our charities and as volunteers too. So, that's what we do. That's the gift, right?
So, John, how can people get involved?
Well, I encourage people to go onto the website and first of all, there's a button that folks can click on the website on the main page, www.scd.org.
Which is, if you can't remember it, it's just Sacramento Catholic Diocese, scd.org.
Very good. Yeah. And then go to the Catholic Foundation to see the 2019 report of gratitude. That will give you some statistics of kind of what we've been up to. And it's a place to get started, but I really want to encourage people to go to your own communities. Almost every parish in the diocese, a majority of them have a St. Vincent de Paul. Get involved there. If you happen to have one of our charities near you, if you're close to Sacramento Life Center or Loaves and Fishes, get involved. Get your kids involved. Make sure that people know these are Catholic organizations too, and be proud of what we have as Catholics, and then be good stewards of it, and not just this isn't a separate organization that you're supporting. There's a number of great ones, and I actually support them, but these are our Catholic institutions, and we want to make sure that our kids and our grandkids have these institutions to be able to give to and to be able to give through in the future. So we need everyone's support.
It's amazing. You mentioned Loaves and Fishes, Sacramento Life Center, Bishop Gago's Maternity Home, Sacramento Food Bank of Family. They all arose with most of them quite a while ago, with just a handful of people, Catholics, who saw a need, and I don't think any of them ever thought that they would become as big and as important to the Sacramento area as I just named four of them, but there's probably 500 more.
It continues, because now we have the Upper Room Dining Hall. That's sort of, that used to be a parish ministry. Now it's feeding people 365 days a year, every single day. It's feeding the hot meals, but more than that, it's really feeding people God's love and charity in the terms of hospitality. So, and Mother Teresa, so there's so many that I expect that the Spirit of God will continue to move people and your own communities to respond to the needs. And if it's God's will, then at some point they get bigger and it grows. But that's not the important thing. I think really for God, the important thing isn't the bigness. As Mother Teresa would say, it's the small things that we do with great love. And we start with the foundation of Christ being the sort of the foundation of what we do. And then we move to the other and their needs, and we care for that person. We do the small things with great love. And that is what transforms folks. It transforms us.
Right.
And that's the great hope of our faith, is that we, as imperfect as we are, can be the vessels of God's hope in the world.
Yeah, very well said. I remember one time my brother and I went to Loaves and Fishes with a group from Davis. And, there's so many different tasks you can do there. And it's a luncheon meal. And we get there 9 in the morning or something, and my brother's back there helping prep the salads and stuff, they didn't let me near the knives or anything. And
so good.
It was a good thing.
And so you see how good they are.
He's trying to find a job for me. Finally, I said, "Why don't you serve the chili on the line? Take a seat over there till it's lunchtime. Just kind of stay out of the way." And so So my job was to serve the, you know,
they gave you a good job.
Oh, it was a great job. And you're getting all the kudos too. You know?
Well, you get to, that's the most, if you have the opportunity again, sometimes God calls us to be cleaning the bathroom that nobody sees, yeah. But it is a gift ultimately to be able to encounter brothers and sisters. And that's, so yes, I've had that opportunity at those fishes to be able to give the food. It's a gift, right?
It was a complete gift. And getting a chance to just talk to them for just a couple minutes, who are you? Where are you from? I know about Siskiyou County. It was just fun to engage them all. But so I'm scooping, so the long ladle and mm-hmm, the big mm-hmm, pot and mm-hmm. scooping, 750 meals or something.
Yeah.
And that night, I wake up in the middle of the night. I thought I was going to need Tommy John surgery. My elbow, my shoulder.
Yeah, that's pretty.
My wrist.
Yeah.
You don't know it while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, 6 ounces or something.
Yeah.
But that repetitive motion, never having done that before, it was like, oh my gosh. It took me about a day to recover.
Don't listen to Bob. Go out there and serve.
Serve the cornbread.
Yeah. Okay, serve the cornbread. I didn't have the duty of doing the beans, so I can't sympathize. I handed out bread.
I should have.
That's the easy one.
I should have rotated, done left.
And then right, there left, you go. And then learn.
It's funny to think that people have jobs like that
mm-hmm.
that you don't think of. I was talking to a guitar player the other day, and he says, "Oh yeah, carpal tunnel's real big in our industry."
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And I'm going, really?
You're
just making music.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting. That reminds me, and I don't know if it's a little bit off topic, and I remember going. We used to go down to Mexico with my church and build homes, but we would also do other things. One time we visited, went to those in the jail mm-hmm. in Tijuana, mm-hmm. and so the jails in Tijuana, they don't provide lunch. So any lunch that is provided, you either have to buy or it's given to you. So we were preparing the food. And as an American, my job, I feel, is to make as many of these bean burritos as possible, as fast as I can. And it was very informative because we were with some Franciscan sisters. And at a certain point, one of the volunteers, she kind of stopped me. And she said, you need to slow down. And then I began to look at what the sisters were doing. And what the sisters were doing is every time they would take the ladle, they would put the sign of the cross. And then they would do the ladle. And then they would put it on their tortilla. And and of course, I'm a big fan of Mother Teresa. And I was like, that's exactly what Mother Teresa was saying.
Wow.
The small little details. But every one, to be intentional, if your job is to do just make the burrito, right. as for instance, that's important not because you're making a burrito.
Right.
Because that burrito is going to be for somebody. And so you want to give them everything and not just a burrito. You want to give them a spirit of love and the Holy Spirit. So that's more important. So anyways, I wouldn't suggest doing that in this because we're used to going fast. And so
we
think if I tried to do that in a loaves and fishes line, I'd be kicked out and I would not get to do the bean ladling again.
They're going through what? Like you say, 750 people in what, an hour, an hour and a half?
Oh, yeah,
It's a fast line.
It is, yeah.
But what an operation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. And it's interesting to me. We just talked to Noel Kemmerman, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. the executive director down there last week. And what do you need, Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. Christmas? And it seems like the number one thing they mention is socks,
mm-hmm.
And you just think, oh, really?
Yeah.
It's huge, hugely important,
mm-hmm.
Socks, gloves, hats, earmuffs.
They get wet.
Yeah.
And you can only carry so many things.
Exactly.
And a wet sock is really pretty miserable.
Pretty miserable. And there's nothing worse than cold feet.
That's right.
You know, you can be warm every place else, so your feet are cold. It's all you think about.
Yep. And what I love about Loaves and Fishes and places like Wellspring and places like that, you know, as Catholic Charities, we are trying to do empowerment. We're trying to help people move to self-sufficiency, right, which is very important. And I think it's an important important thing to support. But what Loaves and Fishes is doing is really accompanying people now that perhaps they're not ready. Maybe they're dealing with mental illness or drugs or whatever, but they're hungry. And they're human beings,
right,
and we give through Loaves and Fishes. We as volunteers get the opportunity to give God's love,
right,
and that's what the gift is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming through the line, they're coming from the cold, but you get to give the smile, and they reciprocate the smile, and we share God's love with each other, and that's pretty powerful. And this is a group of people, really. As we know in Sacramento, that are not really generally speaking, well received.
No, I mean, that's exactly right.
They oftentimes don't smell so good, and they can be a little bit ornery and have issues. But they're human beings, and then when you get to see that, when you see the face of God in them, then you can say, "Wait a minute, God! If God so loves them." Then you understand that passage 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave for me too. Because if God so much loved this person, and I can see the love of God for this person, maybe God loves me too.
Yeah,
maybe. And that's the gift for ourselves.
Indeed.
John,
always a pleasure.
Good to see you.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Lincoln Snyder, Superintendent of Catholic Schools, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2255. 2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272.